good testimonies from Matthew's talking there about knowing how to, God knows how to strengthen us, how to help us. And surely He does. He sends that help right on time. These testimonies have been a help, strength of my life.
Amen.
Tonight. Sometimes it gets dry, don't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like, feel like old Elijah. You start saying, Lord, I'm the only one left. God let you know right quick. He's got those that's still holding up the banner, still doing that that's right in the eyes of God.
Amen.
So I appreciate being here tonight. Good to see Mark. Good opportunity here once in a while to work with him and David. And I appreciate good godly men that love the Lord. And I appreciate this church. Pray for us tonight, Lord, and just help us do His will. I didn't really come to preach tonight. I didn't come not to preach.
Amen.
But come to obey the Lord. And I believe tonight that in my heart that He's worthy.
Amen.
More than I can do. I know without a doubt my feeble efforts is not enough to praise Him for what He's done for me. I said this morning there in Sunday school, I know there's a lot of folks, one of the men said this morning, he talked with a fellow in the community, and the fellow said, well, I tried to make a deal with God, and God didn't come through. Let me say this tonight. I'll say it again. I said it this morning. I didn't have nothing to make a deal with.
No, sir.
Everything I had was worthless.
Amen.
Everything that I had to offer was as filthy rags. But He took that that was unclean, unfit, unworthy, and He traded His Son that I might live.
Amen.
And so tonight, how could I not stand here in this place and brag on Him, tell how good He's been to me. Conley, He's been better to me than I know how to put into words. And I'm thankful tonight that God loves us in spite of our faults, our failures, our shortcomings. Still, He passes by our way. I don't feel deserved to even feel His Spirit. Maybe you feel like you live better than that, but I don't deserve for a moment to feel the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. But you know what? He saved me one day. He put His Spirit on the inside. And when He passes by, I know Him.
Amen.
And so tonight I pray that the Lord will help you and strengthen you through His Word. Stand with me tonight, if you will. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. I want to read just a few verses of Scripture. And I mentioned this a little bit this morning. God just keeps placing it on our hearts. And as we was preaching in passing, maybe we mentioned these verses of Scripture. But I'll do my best just to give you that God has laid on our hearts. Nothing more, nothing less. And I believe God will help you through His Word. And so I trust tonight that you will just pray for us. In the 21st chapter of the book of St. Matthew, we read in the Word of God, verse 23, the Bible said, and when He was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto Him as He was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, He will say unto us, why did you then not believe Him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And He said unto them, neither tell I ye by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard? And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. You may be seated. Thank you for standing tonight. Reverence to God's word. This thought was on our heart all evening as we begin to ponder the words here in Matthew. This thought about believing God. I understand today we live in a world that everything's questioned. It doesn't matter whether it's been right in the eyes of men for 2,000 years. It's today. It's threw into question. Men are trying their very best to satisfy the desires of their heart, and they're doing everything that they can to seek a way to justify those things that are unseemly and ungodly before the eyes of God.
Bless you.
But as the Pharisees here begin to try to find a place to find fault with him, and they came to him and they asked him this question, by what authority do you teach these things? I begin to think about that. Listen, you know, there's men that I've run into in this way that they were seeking every way in the world to question the authority of Almighty God. And I say this tonight, as you look around and you behold the wonder of His creation, He's got the authority tonight of all heaven and earth. That you see, I've heard men say He scooped it out with His fingers. No, ma'am, no, sir. The Word of God says He spoke it into existence. By the very Word of God, God stepped out on nothing. One day, the Bible says that the world was void. It was dark. It was without form. There was nothing that you know today. There was nothing there then that looked like that. But God stepped out and He said, let there be light. And can I say this tonight? Not only did the sun shine, but the Son of God was standing there with Him.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us that as one slain from the foundation of the world, even before man was created, God had already made a plan for you and I to have fellowship with Him. I've wondered in my heart 1,000 times, why would God create something that He knew that was going to turn from Him, something that was going to disobey Him, something that was going to sin from the very start? But God loved you enough that before He ever scooped up the dust of the earth, do you know that's the only thing God's hands touch in creation? He scooped up the dust of the earth and He formed and fashioned it into the likeness of man, and He breathed into him the breath of life. He put Himself into you when He made you. He made you in His likeness. But as God did that, there was already one standing worthy to redeem you from sin.
Amen.
He was standing there in that authority of Almighty God, how to be able to one day lay on the mercy seat of God a sacrifice that would be acceptable for all time and eternity. Isn't that a blessing tonight?
Amen.
To know that your righteousness is not acceptable with God? The Bible tells you and I tonight that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Can you get a hold of that?
Yeah.
The very best that you got tonight in this world, in the eyes of God, is that you and me would throw into a trash can somewhere. It's worthless. But God Almighty made it so that His Son one day stood forth in all the world that they might behold Him. I think often about those men standing over there on the mountain. Brother Peter says one day, let us make three temples, one unto thee, one unto Elias, one unto Elijah, or Isaiah. And he begins to make these things to be known. I tell you, God made it very plain. He wasn't interested in Moses. He wasn't interested in Elijah. He wasn't interested in Isaiah.
Amen.
But there was one that was slain from the foundation of the world.
He
said,
him.
This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him in this world.
Yeah.
God,
you know, God's still saying that today.
Amen. Amen.
He's still saying that today. Hear ye him.
Yeah.
You know, this word is simple. Even as a child, it pricked my heart. It came to the place where I was at, brought me under conviction, that I could understand that I was lost. I thought as Brother Dean was talking about Mark and his testimony, you know, there's a million and millions of people that are in that same condition. Some fellas led them into a little room somewhere and said, you know, all you got to believe. Listen, I could take any child in here tonight and I could ask him, do you want to go to hell?
Yeah.
There ain't a kid in this building that'd say, you know what I do. They'd all say no. And I could lead them in such a way that they'd be willing to repeat a prayer after me. But I tell you, it's been brought forth. God said through the foolishness of preaching that men would be saved under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
God has set forth His word that you and I could come to know Him. I didn't say no about Him. I said know Him.
Amen.
Thanks be to God tonight that one Sunday morning I grew up in the house of God knowing about Him. But one Sunday morning I came to know Him.
Amen, Jonathan.
I went home a different man.
That's right.
I wasn't the same person. I grew up in a household. My dad was a preacher from the time I can remember. Mom would put me on her knee, read things out of the Word of God to me. Connie, you probably could say the same. You got a good, had a good mom and dad. Some of you here in this place, maybe you wasn't blessed with that. But God still loved you enough that He sent His word your way.
Amen.
That you might hear the gospel and be saved. That you might be redeemed from hell.
Amen.
That you could know Him. He says over there, I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah, let not the man that's got his money, let not the man that's got the might, don't let him glory in those things. But he said, let him that glory in this, that he knoweth and understandeth me.
Amen.
If you're going to glory in something tonight, it better be him.
That's right.
Better not be your works, your abilities, that you're capable of doing, because it won't be found acceptable in the sight of God.
No.
I preached this morning at the church about a witness. I tell you, there's coming a day. You talk about a witness that's going to stand either for you or against you.
Yeah.
There's one Dean that knows me inside and out.
That's right.
He knows not only my actions in this world, but he knows my thoughts. Afar off, that you have read time and time again, where Jesus discerned the thoughts of those men that were trying to trap him in this world under the law. They were trying to find a place of fault. He did here in the Word of God where I just read to you. He didn't ask that question to them about John's baptism, whether it was of God or of men, without knowing what their thoughts would be. He knew that was His authority. He knows tonight the hearts of men.
Amen.
He says to them here in the Word of God, He says, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise. He said, tell you by what authority I do these things. They couldn't answer him, but he begins to present a parable to them. You know, he gets down there and he asked them about these men that their father had asked them to go into the vineyard and work. One says, I'll not go. I ain't going to do that. But the Bible says that he repented and he went. And he asked the second one the same thing. Will you go into the vineyard and work? And one says, I'll go. And he doesn't. And he asked this question to them. He says here, which of them twain did the will of his father? You know what? They all were in agreement that the first one, the one that repented. And so he asked them this question. Why would you not believe the preaching of John? When John came to you under the authority of Almighty God, and he begins to implore you to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, why would you not hear the preaching of the gospel? I don't know your heart tonight,
But I'll say this much, if you ever make it to heaven, you'll hear the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
You'll hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll believe upon Him, not with this, but down in the depths of your soul as God Almighty, under the unction of the Holy Ghost of God, allows this man or some other man to preach the gospel and convict your heart of the sin that lies therein. And you believe that the only hope and help that you have in this world is the Lord Jesus. That's how you'll get in. That's how I got in.
Amen.
A childlike faith. It wasn't because my daddy was a preacher. I'll say this. I said it maybe even this morning during Sunday school. I couldn't even tell you what the preacher preached on the Sunday morning that God saved me. God had sat down beside of me two Sundays before that and convicted my heart. I got afraid to go to sleep at night. I didn't want to go to school during the day. Why? Because God was showing me where I was headed in this world.
Amen. Amen.
That Sunday morning I came in, the Holy Ghost of God yet again was wooing my heart, helping me to understand. He did. Listen, God doesn't bring us to a place of condemnation without bringing us to a place of victory.
That's right.
He's not going to bring you down there to a place of sin and a shattered life and just leave you there. But He'll point you toward Calvary. He'll point you toward a place where you can lay that brokenness down. That place where your heart is worthless before God. He'll point you to a place where you might trade in the shackles of sin for a robe of righteousness.
Amen.
Bless His name. I'm glad one Sunday morning He took a boy that wasn't worth anything, that was just an orphan, and He put my hope in the blood of the precious Lamb of God.
Amen.
And gave me a reason to rejoice.
Amen.
That my name's been written in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
Will you believe the Word of God? I hear folks today say, well, I don't like the delivery. If they was a little more eloquent in speech, if they didn't get so excited, I can't help but get excited.
Yeah. Wouldn't want nothing that didn't excite me.
I told a fellow one day, Connie, we were talking. He said to me, I just can't live right. I know I've been saved, but I just can't live right. I said, let me tell you something. I can't live right either. But I said, I'll ask you this. You tell me something as big as God moves down on the inside. And I'm talking about the same God that stepped out on nothing when the world was void and without form and darkness covered the face of the deep.
Yeah.
And He spoke into existence everything that you and I behold. You tell me that same God took up His abode down in the depths of your soul, and He can't compel you to live right. He can't compel you to love the church. He don't put that love of God in your heart for the words of truth and righteousness. I say that's a lie. I believe that is of God. Will seek after the things
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
I'm not trying to condemn anybody.
No, it's the truth.
But I know this much. When He got a hold of me, He ain't let go. There have been a few times I've got contrary. Well, David, I've got out of the will of God, got sideways, so to speak. Do you know what? That's His.
Yeah.
He came to where I was at with the rod of correction, with His Word, and He put me back in line where I needed to be.
Right.
Where I could feel His presence. There's nothing in this world more miserable for a child of God than to be outside the presence of a holy God.
Amen.
I tell you, the most miserable place a child of God will ever be in this world. Tommy Dale is sitting in the house of God when the power and the Spirit of Almighty God begins to pass through and the church begins to rise in her beauty. And there you sit, distanced and out of the will of God. You can't feel in God's presence. That's the most miserable place in the world.
Yeah.
For a child of God.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's a remedy for that.
That's right.
My little children, if you sin, He says you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
That's right.
Just as these Pharisees did in this day,
you and I are guilty of sometimes in this day. We don't like to humble ourselves. No. We don't like to admit that we're wrong. We don't want to come to the place that we have to acknowledge that God is God, and as these young ones are singing, that He's the only thing that matters.
Right.
You know, there's folks in this world, they've got a problem laying down the things of this world in order to serve God. He said you must forsake mother, father, sister, brother. And He goes on to say, even to the denying of thine own self, or you cannot be my disciple.
Yeah.
That's a close place, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a close place. I mean, when He gets it down there and He says, you know what, you can't even have confidence in yourself.
Right.
You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to believe me. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. You know what a disciple is? It's one that not only is following after somebody, but they're trusting them. They've got confidence in them. Their every hope is in that they are. I've got news for you. There have been a lot of disciples of a lot of different things along this way, and all of them has come to naught, except those that would follow after Christ.
Amen.
Now listen, I want to tell you, firsthand, I've stood by the bedside of those that their bodies were riddled with cancer. Their sickness had took their bodies. It looked like they had every excuse in the world to look up to God and say, why have you done this to me? And still they'd shout the praises of
Amen.
Almighty God.
Yeah.
I stood by the bedside of a man one day, Brother Scott Brown's grandfather. We called one Sunday evening and said, we'd like to go visit him. He said, you can, but he's not spoke to anybody in about 3 days. He's just laying up there. You know what we said? Well, we're going to go on anyway. We won't just go by. He had been, Brother Manley had been a blessing to my life and to those boys. And we said, you know what? We want to go. We got up there in that hospital room, and sure enough, there he lay. I mean, no movement whatsoever, no acknowledgement that we was even in the place. And Brother Dwayne Brown said, you know what, boys, I believe we ought to sing Amazing Grace. I believe we ought to just give God a little bit of glory. I tell you that we hadn't hardly got through the first line of that song when his eyes came open and his hands reached toward the heavens.
Amen.
A body riddled with cancer, and he began to give praise and honor unto a holy God that was worthy. And doctors and nurses stood outside in the hallway and wept under the power of Almighty God.
Yeah.
That's who God is
Amen.
In this world.
Amen.
That's the one that I serve.
That's right.
He didn't come to preserve this body.
No, sir.
This body's going back to the dust of the earth.
Yeah.
It's not going.
Uh-uh.
It's getting weaker every day. My eyesight's getting worse as the days go by. Where I used to rise in strength, Dean,
yeah.
in the morning time, it takes me a little while to get these joints. I'm moving.
Yeah.
You know what? The crawl spaces and the ladders and all the things that I've done for a living
yeah.
is taking its toll on this body. It's going back
yeah.
to the dust of the earth. But that inward man,
He's
Brother
renewed.
Matthew, it's renewed.
Amen.
Bless His name day by day. It gets a little stronger as the days go on.
Amen.
My longing for home gets just a little more as the days go by.
Right.
Why? Because I love Him.
Amen.
I want to be where He's at.
Amen.
Woo, you talk about making the preacher want to preach.
Yeah.
I begin to think about what the Lord's done for me.
Yeah.
And how He's helped me in this world. In spite of my failings, God's been good
yeah.
to me. Sunday or two ago, it seemed like the whole service. Brother, I just cried the whole time I preached.
Yeah.
Tried to sing a song at the start of service. Oh, sacred lamb. You knew my frame.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say this tonight? When He knew how wicked I was, when He knew how unworthy I was, when He knew how I'd fail Him, He still came to where I was at. He still gave His Son a ransom for my sake in this world.
Amen.
How could I not praise Him?
That's right.
How could we not give Him honor and glory? I know, folks, that it's a hardship for them to be at the house of God. The only reason they do it so the preacher won't call them Find out where they're at. So somebody won't seek after them. You know, my favorite days of the week is Wednesday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Those are 2 days that I know I'm going to get to go to the house of God if God gives me strength.
Yeah.
And I know if I can get there, I may be down in the dumps. I may be dragging bottom. I may be riding drag, as old cowboys used to say. I may be plump in the back of the pack and my throat and my lungs full of dust. But I'll guarantee you one thing, if I can get to the house of God, there's living water for the soul.
Amen.
There's that. Somebody will have a testimony for God. Somebody will have a song to sing. Somebody will have a message to preach. Somebody will want to give Him praise and glory. And it will strengthen this inner man.
Amen. Amen.
I know I ain't even getting to my text. That's all right.
It's right.
I believe in just following the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we're living in a day, folks, that's satisfied with so little. I don't mean that critical, but it's true.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about naturally speaking. We're not satisfied with anything.
Right.
Concerning that, folks are seeking and God can bless them in the finest house that's ever been. And they'll tear it down and be looking to build a new one.
Yeah.
Then if I have a wonderful car and they'll go trade it in on something better, there's always the desire for something better. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. As God gives you strength in this world and He blesses you, you know what? If that's the things that God helps you with, you ought to do those things. But don't sacrifice the things of God to do it.
Amen.
Don't let God's glory and honor and praise and worship sit on the sidelines while you seek after the things of this world. But let your heart be set today. I mean, make a determination in your heart. I'm going to go for God whether anybody else does or not. I'm going to lift Him up whether anybody else does or not. If the whole church wants to sit silent, I'm going to sing for Him. I'm going to testify for Him. I'm going to give Him praise because He's worthy.
Amen.
Folks are satisfied with very little when it comes to spiritual things.
Yeah.
I know there's times that I'll urge our church, pray, seek the Lord. Ask God to come by and visit with us. And maybe He does. And you know what? Folks will throw their hands up. They won't pray for a solid month. Satisfied with one service. Do you realize we ain't even scratched the surface of the glory of God? I've been in some services where the church was on their feet. Everybody there was shouting the praises of God. And I've not even seen the surface scratched of what God's storehouse has got.
That's right.
Then we've spent some glorious times in the barns and on the sides of the mountains. I've even seen the power of God fall.
Yeah.
Seen men preach and shout the praises of God right there in the woods.
Yeah.
And yet we've not even begun to scratch the surface of what God desires to do for His people.
No.
You know why America's in the shape it's in? Preacher, it's the politicians.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what it is. It's because God's people has turned their face away from Him.
Yeah.
We've quit lifting Him up.
That's right.
We've quit praising Him. And we've sat silently by while, as Conley said, sin has decimated our nation. And we're content to let it go by and say, there's nothing I can do. Can I say this? There was a young man that one day, well, I say young, I don't know how old Elijah was when he stood on Mount Carmel, and there was 450 of the prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the grove, and he alone stood there in honor of the Lord Jesus. He determined in his heart, no matter if it cost me my life, we're going to prove this day who God is.
Right.
I tell you what you and I ought to do, if God's who He says He is in our hearts, in our lives, we ought to let Him prove that in ourselves.
Amen.
Why? The Word of God tells us that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Anybody here tonight, I want to see your hand. If your physical, natural eyes has ever seen God,
place in y'all.
I didn't think so. The Word of God says you couldn't and live. That's what he told Moses. He said, no man's ever looked on me and lived. I don't believe you could see the face of Almighty God and stay here in this world. I've got just a glimpse of him every once in a while. I thought I was going to leave here. But I'll tell you how you saw him. You saw him through somebody else. Through the testimony of Almighty God, as you begin to look and you begin to see God live in others. And as they preached, their testimony had not just the witness of themselves, but it had the witness of Almighty God, that He was who He said He was, that He was real. And by faith you were able to reach out and to touch Him. Do you know that that little lady, that day as Jesus was on the way to Jairus' house, and the Bible said she pressed through the crowd. I tell you, she wasn't looking for honor. She wasn't looking for glory. She wasn't looking for recognition. She was looking for help, and she pressed through the crowd. I have to believe she is down on her hands and knees, just pressing through that great multitude until she finally reached out there, blessed His name, and got a hold of the hem of His garment, and the virtue went out of Him. Amen. I'll say this tonight, when you and I get a hold of Him, you'll not be the same. When we get a hold of the power of Almighty God, there'll be a difference
Amen.
In our lives.
Amen.
The Bible said that that issue of blood that she had had for 12 years, it didn't take it a month to dry it up. I heard a young lady one time stand and testify. She said the Lord saved her. She said over the course of the next few years, she said, I just began to get to where I loved Him. Well, I tell you, talking about red flags when I heard that. It just immediately. I said, there's something missing. You know what? I loved Him because He first loved me. And it didn't take me years to do it. I realized the moment I fell in that altar. And even before, if He didn't hear my cry, I was hellbound in spite of what I could do.
Yeah.
And I got up that Sunday morning, a new creature in Christ Jesus. I tell you, with glory in my soul that had never been there before, in such a way that God made His presence known. Listen, I didn't shout all over the church house. That work that God did was internal.
Right.
Yes, it's caused me to shout since then. But I'll tell you this much, God did a work in my heart that is eternal. It won't be knocked sideways by the devil this week. It won't somewhere down the journey the devil be able to pry it out of my life.
No.
But it's in His hand. Thanks be to God. It's kept by the power of God unto the day of redemption. Tommy Dale, you'll never have to worry. That night that we bowed beside you up there in that old revival and you pressed your way through, God helped you through the power and the Spirit of Almighty God to get pressed into the kingdom without a doubt. The devil's come by since then and said, I don't know whether you've got it, but it's kept in His hand. Matthew, I'm glad tonight that God Almighty holds it in His hand, and it
Amen.
Shall forever be sealed there.
No man can pluck it out.
He says here in the Word of God, He says, verily I say unto you in verse 31, let the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. How was that possible? That those men that were learned and educated under the law, those men that had a knowledge of Almighty God, or I should say they should have had a knowledge of Almighty God, but yet in their greatness, in their conceit of their own selves, they could not get to the place that the publicans would get to, that the harlots would get to. You know, the Bible tells about one. The Bible says that there's a publican came and he didn't even feel worthy to go into the temple. He just stops on the outskirts and he falls down there and he begins to pray this prayer, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And the Bible says that here comes this Pharisee, clothed in all of his righteousness. I mean, he's got all of the religious garb on.
Yeah.
And he passes by this man.
And he lifts his eyes up to heaven and he says, God, I thank thee that I'm not like this here publican. And the Bible asks the question, which one of these men went down to their house justified? I'll tell you who it was. It was the man that fell on his face and said, God, without you, I can do anything.
That's right.
You know, that's all the Lord's looking for today.
Yeah.
It's for me to simply believe the Word of God. Dean, oftentimes in my life, I found myself trying to figure out, what can I do?
Right.
How you look, and maybe some of you don't understand this, but maybe those that's been in the way a little while, you have. You get to the place and it looks like the church is struggling. It looks like folks ain't getting saved. It looks like folks is leaving like flies. And you begin to wonder, what can I do? Maybe there's something I can change. Maybe there's something I can do that'll make things better. And God, through the years, has helped me understand that the only thing He requires out of me is to believe the Word of God and to be obedient. God's looking for obedience.
Amen.
He's not looking for the sacrifice of my repentance at the altar somewhere before Him day in and day out. God don't want to hear me all the time saying, I'm sorry, I messed up again. God's looking for me to be like Isaiah there in the 6th chapter. Lord, send me.
Right.
That's what God's looking for.
Yeah.
I was in revival one time down in Alabama. Family had been coming night after night. God showed them to me the first night. I knew that they were lost. I mean, through the power and the Spirit of Almighty God, God let me see them right from the start.
Yeah.
Through the course of that week, I mean, I saw no change. It looked like to me that there was, I'd go back home where I was staying down there with a dear lady that's a friend of ours. I'd get on my face and I'd say, God, what didn't I do right? Lord, surely there's something I should have said that I didn't say. Lord, show me what it is. God just kept pressing in my heart. Just keep preaching the Word. Just kept being obedient. And night after night, it seemed like no answer. I was coming, and then one night, we came into service, and the song leader got up to lead a song. And before he got through the first song, that whole family ran out of the back of the church and got in the altar. God whispered in my ear, I told you to be obedient. I didn't need you to go get them, but I went, God.
Amen. That's right.
I had the privilege. That was somewhere along about 1996 or 7. And I guess it's been about 3 or 4 years ago. One Sunday evening, I got a call. I didn't know what was wrong. The boy was weeping and couldn't hardly understand what he was saying. Conley hadn't talked to him maybe 3 times in all those years. And I finally understood what he was trying to say. I kept saying, Charlie, is this you? What are you saying? And finally, through the tears, he said, Preacher, I just called to tell you, thank you for preaching to me. Thank you for just obeying God. And he said, I wanted to let you know that God's called me to preach. And that I want to do His will and His work.
Amen.
I tell you, you talk about making a preacher want to preach the next time he got in the stand. Amen. God encouraged me and let me know that it's His work that needs to be done.
Amen.
God doesn't need me to help Him along. He just needs me to be obedient.
That's right.
And like the publican, like the harlot, to hear the Word of God and to believe the truth.
Amen.
Yeah. And if I'll do that, you know what God will do? He'll save sinners.
That's right.
He'll hear our prayers. Been dry around Lust Chapel for a good while. You know, it seemed like things was just starting to crank up. Boy, we was having some good services. Along come this COVID thing. We just put folks' mind in a whirlwind. Put us out of church for a little while. And I said one Sunday morning as I was preaching online, you better make sure your hope's anchored in Christ. This will tell the tale on you. It'll either show that you love God or you don't.
The devil will find a way to replace that time in the house of God with something else that's proved out to be the truth for some folks. But listen, I tell you, it's made more of a determination in my heart to stand for Him,
amen,
to preach His Word, to let His glory be known than ever before.
Amen.
We've got a world that needs to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about Jonathan.
Amen.
They don't need to hear about Dane.
No.
You've got a good pastor. They don't need to hear about him.
No.
They need to hear about the Lord.
Amen.
And His saving grace. How are you going to do that? Well, one of these harlots that he was talking about, we're reading the Word of God, we're a little lady by the name of Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
You know what you find with her time and time again?
Amen.
At the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, right down there in Simon's house, right down there,
yeah,
in the Pharisee's house, when it looked like that all of the big religious boys was around, she,
yeah,
heard he was down there, and the first thing she done is slip in and get at his feet. Just get down there and begin to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair and give him honor and praise. And you know what they begin to say? Why, if she know, if he knew who she was,
yeah,
surely he'd put her out here. I tell you, he knew exactly who she was.
Yeah.
And she knew exactly who he was.
Amen.
And as she gave him praise,
yeah,
God Almighty got honor and glory.
Amen.
It's still being told today.
Amen.
It's still being told today. What are you going to give to God? Can you give Him anything?
No.
Not works.
No.
Not your thoughts, not your abilities. But as we yield ourselves to Almighty God, I'm going to close tonight. You're reading the Word of God about a king by the name of Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
Great enemy had come up against them. There they was in the land of Judah, an enemy that had came up against them numbered more than twice the amount of men that they had to fight back with.
Yeah.
And you know what he done? The Bible said that he began to call all of the land. I mean, the Bible said he even called the children and the little ones. And he stood before all of them, and he didn't say, "I, as your great king, believe we ought to do this." But I'll tell you what the Word of God says, and when he got them all gathered together, he looks up into the heavens and begins to pray unto God, "God, we have no might or power against this great company, but our eyes are upon Thee."
Yeah.
He began to pray from hell, for help and from heaven, and believe that God would deliver.
That's right.
Do you know God didn't say, "Go down there and count your men"?
No.
"See what you got to fight with. See how many horsemen they are. See how many chariots you can round up." God simply said, "Tomorrow about this time, you're going to assemble the singers."
That's right.
"You're going to get behind those that will praise God. And you're going to go down toward the enemy." He didn't tell them they was going to girt one sword about their selves, that there's one spear going to be lifted. But he said, "You're going to go down toward the enemy, and you're going to sing and praise and worship God. And God did the rest."
That's right.
That's a strange way to fight a battle, isn't it? It is in my eyes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what God said to do. And had they done otherwise, they'd have been defeated.
That's right.
But when they gave God the honor and the glory and the praise, God did a wonderful and a wondrous work in front of their eyes and that of their children that they may never forget, and it's still a testimony today.
Amen.
Will you hear the Word of God? I'm not talking about once. I'm talking about every day.
Yeah.
Be sensitive to the voice of God. Hear what the Lord will speak to your heart. Oh, there's days that I get aggravated. There's days that maybe things ain't going right. Mark's probably seen me like that. I've seen them boys and their machines tore up. They wasn't having good days. You know what? God's still been faithful. He's still been faithful even during those days.
Yeah.
I'm glad that God has made a way that you and I can live for Him
that we can serve Him with gladness in our hearts and have joy eternal down in the depths of our soul. I hear folks say, you know what, I can't wait to get to glory. Listen, there's glory here.
Amen.
There's joy here. There's joy in the journey. It's been wonderful tonight for me to be in the house of God.
Amen.
It's gave me strength to be with God's children, and I thank you for that. Appreciate you loving me, praying for me. Without a doubt, some of you called my name out at times that I didn't even know you was a friend. And I thank you for that. I love you tonight. I pray that the Word of God will strengthen you and help you. What wonderful fellowship it is tonight to be with God's people.